What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. I am so excited today for our conversation with Orlando Hudson, longtime Major League Baseball player, is 11 years in the big leagues, two-time Major League Baseball All-Star, four-time Gold Glove second baseman. Man, is he doing great things for God right now. He's also working with the Arizona Diamondbacks currently in player development. He's down at spring training and he's pouring into these young players and kind of showing them some things that he did wrong and now wants to see them learn, hopefully, from the mistakes that he made in his life. This gets really deep. This conversation goes to a pretty raw place, and I don't think we have any issues with kids listening. Just giving you a heads up, Orlando's going to talk a lot about marriage, infidelity, and some of the downfalls that success brought him during his major league career. But among all people, Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, and others who came into his life, his pastor as well, and said to him, listen, man, you got to stop. You know of Jesus, but you got to surrender your life to Christ. So Orlando Hudson tells it all, man. This was a powerful story. I love this guy's demeanor, his personality. They call him O-Dog, Orlando Hudson, two-time All-Star. And he joins us here today on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to tell you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. You can go to sportspectrum.com right now and subscribe. You can use the code PODCAST15 when you check out as well. PODCAST15, and we want to give you 15% off exclusively to podcast listeners. 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. And I'm telling you, I think it's the best thing that we do. It's perfect for the kids. It's faith-filled, family-friendly, clean sports content. Our spring 2024 edition is going to be hitting newsstands very soon. So you want to get your subscription right now so you can get the latest edition of the Sports Spectrum magazine. And like I said, if you're looking for something for the kids, if you're looking for something that's not going to be offensive or inappropriate, especially in the world of sports where we can cross that line way too often, man, consider subscribing to the Sports Spectrum magazine. You can do that over at sportspectrum.com and put in that code PODCAST15 to save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine. Go to sportspectrum.com right now and subscribe today. What's up, guys? Welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am really excited to welcome Orlando Hudson to Sports Spectrum, the former MLB player, two-time All-Star, four-time Gold Glove second baseman. Orlando Hudson, welcome to Sports Spectrum, buddy. It's good to see you.
What's up, man? Jason, good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
All right, my man. Well, I'm excited to talk to you. This is going to be great. There's so much to talk about your journey now that I know a little bit even more, having talked with you previously. Let's start, though, with the most important thing, Jesus. Tell me about Jesus in the life of Orlando Hudson.
Well, let me start off with this. Jesus, matter of fact, I got the shirt on. Jesus' talent with my mindset equals success. You know, growing up, I'm from the backwoods of South Carolina. You know, I'm from the backwoods. So my grandparents, my parents, you know, both still married 46 years, and my grandparent married for 60 or whatever the case may be. Let me tell you, they always instilled in me about Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a young kid.
Right.
And then the older I got, I had to go to church, had to go to Bible study, had to go to Sunday school, had to do the everything at the church, right? But as a young kid, I knew, I said, okay, I hear grandma, I hear mama, it's all about Jesus. I understand that, I respect that. But when I got a little older, Jason, and people start saying Orlando could be this and Orlando could be that, and is he going to do this? And then I get to high school, and then the talk starts. What is Orlando going to choose? Football, baseball? What is he going to do? Blase, blase. So now my chest out a little bit. Not that I forgot Jesus, but just the fact that here I am. I got people chirping, and it makes a kid feel good, you know? Not that I'm working around bragging about I'm the best, I'm All-American, I'm not bragging about that. It's just, we'll get to it, you know, a little later on, because I'm pretty sure that the story will come up. But it was all about, at that point in time, is that the reason why my parents instilled that in me because they wanted me on my next journey, wherever it may be, whether it's going to college to play ball or in the work field. Do not leave Jesus out of your life, regardless. Don't care what you do. Don't care where you go. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you take him with you first. Everything else will follow.
Wow. And that was something that you did throughout your journey, because you ended up going to Spartanburg Methodist College, which isn't, I want to say this. I'll say it's not a powerhouse. It's not a known powerhouse, because you've had some guys that went to that school that ended up in the big leagues.
Yeah, Dwight Smith played a long time. Reggie Sanders played a long time. There's quite a few others, man. Yeah. Tim Wallace do a great thing there, brother. A lot of guys were drafted, playing the minor leagues. Oh, yeah. There was a time when I was there, he was trying to get a scrimmage game against Clemson in Carolina. They was like, nah, we're not doing that.
Right. Who's this Spartanburg? Yeah. No way.
They're like, no, we're not doing that, because they always come down school to watch us play. And the coaches, they recruit a lot of our players. And they were like, nah, we're not playing you guys. No. Would have smacked them right across their lips.
But you always knew that you had the talent to play in the big leagues. Forget Spartanburg Methodist College, right? Even though you were a 33rd round pick, your confidence never waned, did it?
Never. From the time I was Jay High in them backwoods down there in Dahlem, I was already destined for the big leagues. I knew it. I told my mama several times, I'm going to play on TV. I said, mama, I'm going to play. As a matter of fact, she still has that paper when I wrote it. I'm going to play on TV. I am going to play on this TV you're watching. I'm going to play on TV, Ma. Ain't nothing stopping me. But when I would say that, she would say, long as you got Jesus with you. I'm a young kid. I'm like, oh, mama, here we go again with Jesus. I know.
Yeah.
Now at this point in time in my life, Jason, I see what she was talking about, because my journey had went a whole nother way. You know, so me from high school, from Darlington High School to Spartanburg, through the minor leagues to the big leagues, I had a different journey. It was a point in time in my life where I always knew Jesus, but there's a point in time in my life, man, when I completely had him in the background, because it went from Orlando Hudson to Old Dog real quick.
Yeah.
And I had some success real quick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. I thought the women back home was okay. Now I get to see good looking women every day. And that was my downfall.
Yeah. I want to talk about that in a second, because I'm really fascinated by the idea of you knowing you were going to be a big leaguer, and the idea of confidence versus cockiness. And how did you follow that line maybe it was cockiness in some cases on your journey, but how were you able to stay confident and understand, I know I'm going to be a big leaguer, but never make it to the point where it becomes arrogance or cockiness?
You got to have a little air of arrogance, not to the point where you're bragging to people like, I'm great, I'm this. No. It's a little different step in your, a little different pep in your walk. It's the way you carry yourself. You have to be confident at all, whatever it is. Steve Jobs, that's the one with the computer, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He said, I'm going to make the best computer, and kept at it every single day. What are we talking? We talking through Steve Jobs right now.
That's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he had an arrogance about him, but he was confident in the work that he wasn't looking forward to that year in 1970, whatever it was. He was looking forward to the year 3025. He was looking on down the road. I was looking on down the road. Michael Jordan was looking on down the road. I'm not putting myself in the same sentence as those guys. Don't get that twisted.
Sure.
But I always had that confidence. I am good enough that I will play on TV and nothing is stopping me. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't party like that. So my body going to be clean. I ain't worried about that part. So I'm going to get out here and I'm going to grind. And I'm going to shine when I grind, because that's just a part of who I was. So every day in those backwoods, man, I was hitting. My uncles had me hitting. My dad had me throwing a football or shooting a bat, whatever it was, I was doing it. So even through high school and college, I was very, very confident. If I was 0 for 4, 5 strikeouts, I'm going to go, somebody got to pay tomorrow. It didn't deter me.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. When I fell in the slump, I'm like, God, dog it. I got to figure this out, how to get this right. Because I'm 0 for 28 or 0 for 20. Like, I got to get out of that. That's when I called my mom, my grandma, and here we go. Son, just pray.
Always deferring back. Always going back to that.
I'm like, man, tell me what you see on TV. What am I missing? Am I timing off this and that? Son, relax and just pray. I'm like, all right, Ma. Okay, Grandma, here we go. The same old words from Yeha. Just pray. You know? So that's what it was. So it is a fine line. For people who, you know people who brag. You know people that's you don't want to be around those guys. No. I'm not gonna tell you, Jason, oh yeah, man, I got to big league, I do this. Oh man, guess what? I got full group. You don't want to hear that. No, that's not it. But if you tell me, hey, oh, we watching the game and you say, oh, hold on, what would you do with that inside pitch right there? I don't know, brother, the way he throwing them guys throwing 100. I might file it off my shin. And then you'll be like, don't be so modest. Like, I'm telling you, I might file it off my shin. Then I might say, but if he misses his spot, I'm going to shoot him in that left field gap and pimp me a double. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Confidence. Yeah.
So you make your major league debut July 24th, 2002. It's 5 years after you were selected in that 33rd round. What do you remember about that day?
0-for-4, 4 ground outs, and a ground ball went right between the wickets. My only ground ball of the game.
Not the greatest start.
Hey, we playing in Camden Yards, man, in the house that Cal Ripken built. And then we just sitting there. And I'm sitting there. And matter of fact, it was my teammate, ex-teammate, with the, who Jay Gibbons was with the Blue Jays, now with the Baltimore Orioles at the time, hits me a ground ball. I'm like, oh, my boy, Jake. And I'm sitting there all feeling good, no crowd, I'm not. I go down, and next thing I know, I look between my legs like Bugs Bunny do, and Jose Cruz Jr. was picking it up in right field. I'm like, so I looked at Carlos Delgado, he was like, welcome to the big leagues, kid. Uh-oh. You know, I'm like, that's one of those things.
But that's the confidence, right? It was what, a couple days later, you get that first big game and you understand you're here to stay.
Yeah. Next couple of days, we in Minnesota facing Joe Mays. Threw me a sinker, got a man on second base, RBI single, and RBI single, first hit and RBI at the same time. So it was perfect.
You knew you were there. That was it.
I'm here.
You had a lot of success, Orlando, in your career, certainly 4-time Gold Glover and 2-time All-Star. As you started accumulating that success, both with Toronto, then Arizona, even with the Dodgers, how do you think you handled that success on your journey?
A lot of people would tell you, Jason, that, man, Orlando was a humble dude. You know, it's the kind of guy you want to be around and blase this and that. Man, I was a monster in them street towards women. I'm not talking about physically beating them, but I just ran them. Women. So I didn't handle the success part as good as most. You know? It caused me to get divorced. It caused a lot of good friendships with people, with women. I hurt a lot of women along the way. I hurt my mom. I embarrassed my kids. That's the part that my mom told me a long time ago when she was like, the only downfall that the good Lord gonna get you is women. That's gonna be your downfall from this game. He gonna have to take this game for you because of the women. Jason, I couldn't help him.
Yeah.
And I remember the day I got married, and Deion Sanders spoke at my wedding. He's my mentor, Prime Time. And Prime told me, he said, listen, O, you had a little success in this game, and you're only going to get better, bro. You got to be careful because they out there. And the whole time I'm telling Prime, I'm like, Prime, listen, I just want a little bit of what you had.
Right.
I'm not talking about money. Don't care about none of the fame. I want them good looking two-piece legs over there. That's the only thing I was worried about. God gave me a great family and a great wife and all that. But it wasn't satisfying enough because my flesh pleasing the streets of the world, because God already told me you can't please me and the world. But that's what I was doing. So I was a lukewarm Christian, Jason. I was in the middle. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read your Bible now. I'm going to do that. But I got to get back over here, because there were some good looking sisters over there. Mm. And I want every last one of them. So it was Orlando is not going to go out there and party till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You'd be like, hey, oh, man, let's go out and go to the bar. Jason, you my teammate. You'd be like, hey, oh, let's go out to the bar. Let's have a little drink right quick. I'm like, okay, I'll meet you there. I ain't showing up because I already got something lined up. I don't know what you know what I'm doing. If I ever do show up, it'll stay like 3 or 4 minutes. Like, hey, man, I got to get to the house.
Yeah.
But, you know, glad to hang out with you. You're a good teammate. Jason, it got to the point where I embarrassed myself. That's how deep I was in the street as far as women. I remember my pastor telling me at the time, Sean Johnson, and I was going through my struggles. And I'm having, now listen to me. My career is just fine at this time.
Right, you're doing well. Fine. You're doing pretty good.
I'm doing decent. Yeah, thank you. So, but I'm still empty.
Right.
I got this nice crib and all this land out in Darlington, South Carolina, and I still feel empty. Got an entire wife, got 3 beautiful kids, got a healthy mom, healthy sister, healthy brother, healthy dad, healthy grandma, and I was still empty. So I'm sitting there saying to myself, one day I go to church on Sunday, and I pull up for Sunday school, but my pastor pulls up the same time. He gets out, I get out. He looks at me, Jason, he says, whatever you think and don't do it.
Yeah.
I said, Greg, you talking to me? Now, we the only two out there. He said, listen, bro, whatever you thinking, do not do it. Say, all right. So going to church, and while we was in Sunday school, and I was sitting there thinking, and he's sitting behind me. Because one of our deacons did Bible Sunday school that morning. So the pastor was sitting behind me. I was zoned out. And I'm thinking, why is he telling me? I have never told him what I'm doing. He don't know how I run the streets. Why is he telling me whatever I'm thinking, don't do it? So this whole time, for an hour of Sunday school, I'm not there mentally. So after Sunday school's over, he said, come in my office. I said, oh. He sits me down. He said, listen, I can see the hurt in your wife's eyes every Sunday. He said, even some of the things your mom say to me, I know it's referring to you. He said, I'm going to send you a Bible verse every week. You're going to study it, and then we're going to break it down. So I said to myself, just like, all right, here we go. By that Bible verse, I read the Bible verse, but I got flights to catch because it's the off season. I got flights to catch because I got women that I met I still got to get to. Now, mind you, I got a whole family at home now,
right?
So that's how dangerous it was for me. So I got parties I got invited to. I never showed up to the party. I'm going to see the women that was in the same state that the party was in. So Dion ended up talking to me, and he said something similar to what my mom said. These women can have you so far out there that you will forget what Jesus done blessed you with. I say, but listen, bro, Prime, listen to me now. I grew up watching you play. I saw the commercials. I saw the flash. I saw the jewelry. The same guy that get 2 interceptions, take both of them to the house, win the game, dance to the end zone, take a quick shower, do an interview, get on your private helicopter, and then go play for the Braves and steal 3 bases. But you gonna tell me that I can't have a little bit of the journey that you had? That's all. I'm not asking for your money, brother. All I want is them good-looking sisters right there. He was like, oh, listen to me. It's a reason why I was divorced, brother. It's the reason why I was divorced. The same right. thing. He says the same thing. That thing will grab you and it will hold you. And that, and he says Satan makes those women look even 10 times better when you get up closer to them. So that's the demon I was fighting. So when you ask me, Orlando, how did you handle the success part of me just being out here blowing my door, whatever, that wasn't it. I wanted the success because of the women that came with it. Now, mind you, I'm already blessed with what I have. So like my grandma tell me, a hard head make a soft behind. So I also was being long guy. My eyes were longer than my stomach. You know how sometimes you put food on your plate and you don't eat it all? So my grandma used to tell us, see, you're long guy. Your eyes longer than your stomach. You thought you wanted, but you didn't.
Yeah.
So now, that's me. That's me out there, Jason, who's being an all-star, who in the now listen, I'm in the church now. I read the Bible. I'm a family man. I got a diamond chain with a cross on it. And look what
you're
I was doing.
Playing the role. Like you would never have, I would never role. Have known that if I had known you back no. then. I would exactly. have said, this dude loves that. Jesus. Yeah.
Yes. So the fact of me, not the fact that I never, that I lost, I just didn't have him the way I was supposed to. I knew him. I'm going to read my Bible verse every day. Right? But when that game was over, I'm here. I'm
so
in.
You knew about him, maybe, but yes, didn't I knew know about him.
I didn't know him. So I was in this state and then that state. I get invited to this part. And I mean, I was out there. So me and my pastor had a great conversation. And at this point in time, I know I had to change. And my mom looked at me because the last two and a half years of my career, I didn't want to play baseball. I was always hurt. I didn't feel like driving to the field. In Revelation, John said, he swallowed a word, and when it went down, it was bitter.
Yes.
Right? I'm reading it. I got the word, but it's bitter.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand why, because I'm reading it, but I'm also trying to do this over here. The two couldn't mesh together, Jason. I was trying to mesh the word and the streets together, and it couldn't.
Right.
So my mom told me, Jesus is going to take what he bless you with if that's what going to take for you and him to get your attention. And I used to always blow my mom off. Like, mama, why are you bad-mouthing me? He did, Jason.
Mom
2012,
knew.
She did. Yeah. He took it from me. Because he had to get my attention some way, somehow. Because if he let me keep going on, you might not would have been talking to me right now. No telling what would have happened.
Yeah.
So he had to open my eyes. So then my pastor put me in an embarrassing moment. He asked me to call those women and tell each one of those women that you're changing your life and you can't do it no more because you're going on towards, you want to follow the path of Jesus. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, you want me to call all these women and tell them what? So now you want me to give up what I'm loving because he was trying to help, honestly, save me and my marriage.
Well, the Bible talks about bringing sin to the light. This is what you yes. were doing, right? You were bringing it to doing. The light. Yeah. yeah. You were not keeping it hidden anymore. You were like, he was no. telling you, call these women because that brings it to the light. And that's where the healing begins.
It does. And that's what happens. So I said, I look at him, I said, Sean, you want me to do what, real? And he said, you want me to sit up and say it? I can say it in Spanish since you've played with a lot of Latin players. You're pretty sure you understand Spanish too. And I said to myself, Doc, listen, Doc. He said, no. Call them. You was mad enough to talk to him and do what you did with him. Be mad enough to tell him that you are going to walk with Jesus and you can't do this anymore. So I dropped my head. And from that point on, Jason, my life started to change. But the hardest thing to do is surrender. Like, listen, I'm a backwoods dude from the backwoods yeah. of South Carolina. God has blessed me with $5 in my pocket. You know how far $5 can go? I can get a Hawaiian punch and a honey bun. and a pack of gum and blow pops.
Yep.
And I still got money left over. So you take a dude with $5 in his pocket, put him on TV with a little success. I lost my mind. So when you say, did I handle it right? I didn't.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask me, did I hide it right? Then yeah, but I didn't handle it right because I hurt a lot of people along my journey.
Yeah. He is Orlando Hudson joining us here on Sports Spectrum. When did you realize, because I'm sure you're not the only guy that struggled with this, and people who might have been grown up in the faith and raised in the faith, and then suddenly success comes and man, they go down. Deion Sanders told you that that was his experience, right?
Yeah.
When did you realize that this wasn't just your struggle? This was other people's struggle, but now I can actually share this story. Because it's one thing to go through your own story, but when you start talking about it publicly, the world knows, the crowds know, the people know, and they were like, wait, I didn't know that, Orlando Hudson. This is what you struggled with? But it's when we can use our story to help others, I think, is when God does his greatest work, if I'm being honest. When we go through our struggles and then we're able to share, like you're doing right now. When did you realize that you could start sharing this with other big leaguers, other people, pro athletes, whatever it might be, and help them? Because you're working in player development now with the Diamondbacks. By the way, a very apropos title as we talk about sharing your story and helping develop players. When did you realize that you could start sharing your story with others?
Well, every year, our farm director asks me to talk to the whole minor league system, and I give a speech every year. And Dan Carlson, who was our assistant major league pitching coach with the D-backs, about maybe 7-8 years ago, he asked me a question in front of everybody. Maybe no, about 5 years ago. He said, "Hey, hold on, let me ask you a question." No, I wasn't expecting, but me and DC, great guy, big Christian too, by the way.
Great.
And he said, "Are you Orlando Hudson at home, or are you Odell?" Phenomenal question.
Right.
Phenomenal question.
Right. Which guy are
nobody,
you?
Yeah, but nobody calls me Orlando, really, right? Very, very few people. And I said, they call me Old Dog. Some classmates, some friends still call me Old, or whatever, or some call me Old Dog, whatever the case may be. My worldly ways is Old Dog for sure. I was a dog for sure. You know? And that prompted me to say, I don't need to be ashamed of myself anymore, because there's somebody I can help with what I was battling, because there's somebody in here that may need me. And when I end up sharing my story with Romano, it was about 5 or 6 guys came to me afterwards. And these just the minor league guys now. I haven't even talked to the big league guys yet. Just the minor league guys. And they were saying, "Man, I need your help. Oh, you really opened my eyes. Like, dude, I thank you for your story that you shared." And I'm like, whoa, what is this, young kid? You know, even in minor leagues, you could have that too now. Don't get me wrong. And a few of the guys, if we share numbers and we share stories, and I share the same Bible verses that my pastor at the time gave me. And we still talk to this day, because they was fighting that battle. Because, you know, when you have a little, when you're in the minor leagues, you know, nobody really knows you. Nobody knows you and all that. But the way TV is now, the way the internet is now, you know, you can pretty much build your own brand. They were struggling with that a little bit. And they were in the same position I was in. Some were married. Some had was about to get married. And it can easily happen. Just let me tell you something. I don't have social media. I have a team that do my social media. So, but I'm on different group chats with my Latin coaches, my cousins, some friends of mine. So we own different group chats. And I don't know if you have seen it, but there's some really good looking, beautiful, gorgeous, pretty IG women on the internet. Jeez, they know what they're doing. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that every last one of them is trying to say, I'm going to be married to a ball player or a doctor or a lawyer, whatever the case may be. But a woman knows when you look good and you put yourself on that platform, and as high as social media is today, that's a And if you was like I was, if we'd have had that when I was playing, Jason, I would never play in the big leagues. I would have never played in the major leagues. If I would have, I would have been a year and done.
Wow. Why do you say that?
That's how weak. Because if I was that weak then, imagine me with that, what these kids got to deal with now.
Yeah.
With my mindset early on in my career, with no social media, and if you'd had social media with that to back when I played, oh, I wouldn't have made it. Y'all would have had me on CNN and ABC and Fox News every day. It would have been every day. Orlando with who? My wife thought she would have been embarrassed then. She really would have been embarrassed. You know, my mom really would have been crying. You know, my grandma really would have been hurt. My sister, my daughters, they really would have been hurt. Because I'm telling you right now, if that was on during the time that I played in the major league, Jason, I would have lost my completely mind. Because I wasn't that strong to look at what they got to look at and deal with. Now that don't bother me at all. I look at, hey, I respect God's creatures. He created them. I get it. I'm not throwing it to the side. Very beautiful women. White, black, green, purple, orange, shiny, whatever. Very beautiful. But I have no interest, right? To sit there and say, when I'm going to run the street, I don't want that life. I done did too much damage to myself. I done did too much damage to my family. And now I got to raise an 18-year-old son who's being recruited, right? And so I'm looking at him. I'm looking at me all over again. He like, Dad, such and such looking at me. She called me. She did something like, son, listen to me, though. Listen to me, though. Just listen. Now I find myself telling my son what Prime told me, what his mom was telling me, what my mom was trying to tell me. Now I'm finding myself telling them that. Even my oldest daughter would tell me sometimes, Daddy, you must be forgot. I was old enough to remember how hard Mama used to cry. Now, that's what I hear now as my 22-year-old daughter, who's a senior at Carolina right now. But that was just to tell me. Now, my youngest baby girl don't remember any of that. So that's what I deal with. So at this point in time now, Jason, I say to myself, is this where God want me to be? Because I was looking to play 15, 16 years because my main focus was I want to get to the Hall.
Mm-hmm. Hall of Fame.
Now, it was a blessing that I was on that Hall of Fame ballot. My teammates, the coaches that they all gave me say, oh, you made the ballot. That's great. But now, at this point in time, I want to build another Hall of Fame ballot towards Jesus because that's the only way that I got to surrender myself to him. Am I perfect, Jason? There is no chance I'm perfect.
I haven't met a person yet other than Jesus.
Exactly. So now I got to make my mom proud. I got to make my grandma proud. I want my daughters to look at me in a different light. Now, the gist of the story is, of course, I want Jesus to be like, there he is. Now, that's the one I'm talking about.
Right.
That's the son I'm talking about. He's the ultimate. But sometimes when I'm doing things, I'm like, my mom proud of her boy. It has gotten to a point where my ex-wife told me, I'm so proud of you that you changed. But I see that I had to take the worst part of it for you to grow for somebody else. You know, it's hard pill to swallow, but it is what it is, right? And matter of fact, me and Doc Gooden had to do an autograph signing last year together. And we had an hour and a half conversation about the same thing.
Wow.
And you heard his story.
Yeah, I've met Doc when I worked at ESPN. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So me and Doc do autograph signings together sometimes. And we talked about the same exact thing. Now I got new people in my life, female friends, male friends that we're on a different level now. We talk about different things. We could talk about the Bible. We could talk about different Bible verses. We break down Bible verses. Jason, at some point in time, dude, I'm thankful for my career. Don't get me wrong. I'm definitely thankful. Thankful for the path that I had to go through to get me through this point. Because I could be 46 years old, still out there being an ignorant man.
Sure. Yeah.
And not mature at all.
Yeah, there's right? a lot of those out there, unfortunately.
A lot of those. So I'm glad that I wish I would have got 15, 16 years in, but playing 11 years in at the highest level ain't bad. So I'm thankful for it. But I still question, ask myself and ask Jesus, what do you have for me now? Hmm. What is it that you want me to do now? Since you already had me playing baseball and you had to show me you was in control, because for a long time I thought I could just have you over here that I was in control, but you showed me who the bigger man is. So now I got to put my ear to you. So tell me, what do you need and what do you want for me to do right now?
So what do you think the answer is?
Maybe the same thing you and I doing.
Talking about maybe Jesus.
Yeah. Maybe the same thing when I'm doing with, I'm with Arizona, you know, talking to the young kids. I do speaking engagements. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is what Jesus had me to do that for a little bit, for me to go through my journey to prepare me for the next path. So maybe this is it. I don't know, but I still ask him all the time. And people ask me to do speaking engagements all the time. But whatever it is, I'm going to follow his path. I can tell you that. Because I tried to do it on my own for too long. And I lost. I don't care nothing about no gold glove. I don't want to hear nothing about no all-star. I don't want to hear nothing about no commercial. I don't want to hear nothing about old dog had this. I don't want to hear nothing about that. All that's irrelevant. Now I'm on a different journey in life now. Because now I got three younger kids that looking up to dad now. And I want them to see dad in a different light.
Yeah, and when you're a grandpa someday, you want those grandkids to see you, Grandpa O, whatever they call you.
Oh, they probably going to call me
Grandpa O'Dog.
Grandpa probably call me Papa Smooth or Papa Handsome or something like that. Ain't one of the two.
But you want that grandchild is only going to have known you from the moment they meet you. They're not going to know that O-Dog from 2008 or whatever year it was.
Yeah, they're not going to. I don't want them to know that part. No, wow. I don't want them to know that part. Yeah. So you know, and my mom, me and my mom talking, she'll bring up sometimes, Jason. She'd be like, well, you hard-headed, but I'm so glad to see you in a different light. So glad to see you in a different light. And it feels good to hear my mom tell me that, you know, and to see that even in myself, that I can feel different. I don't feel empty with all the accolades and this and that. I still don't feel empty. I don't have to go out there. I can go to the mall and just be like, you know, one of God's beautiful creatures. I don't have to sit there and say, okay, let me U-turn. You know, it don't have to be all that.
Yeah, you got the guardrails in place now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's good. I got to ask you this because I don't think a lot of people would figure out, like, how does Orlando Hudson and Deion Sanders connect? How did that happen?
We played together in AAA 2001. He was out of football trying to get back to the big leagues. And I was just a young, handsome prospect, you know, coming up the ranks.
Yeah, you were 23. He was what, 34, 35?
Something went somewhere in that area, yeah.
Yeah.
And we just hit it off. But let me tell you a crazy story, though. Our lockers were beside each other. So we would talk every day. So remember now, I grew up watching this dude play. Exactly.
Yeah.
So now I'm sitting beside this guy. Now, I'm sitting at home in a 2-bedroom mobile home. Growing up, I grew up in a mobile home.
Yeah.
And watching prime time, got poster, this and that. But now I'm sitting beside him. Okay, we're talking, he's talking about Jesus. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, okay. I get you. I know Jesus. Yeah, I know him. Oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. That's everybody else. I go to church every Sunday when I'm home. That's everybody else. Like going to church, the only thing will get you to heaven. That's not even close. But that was me. Yeah, but I said it with my chest out. I go to church every Sunday. You know what I'm saying? He said, oh, let's go out to eat. So we go out to eat. I'm like, I'm about to meet some of the baddest women ever. I wasn't married at the time. Had the same woman that I married at the time, who I was married to, but she was my girlfriend. I think she was pregnant during that time. So I'm like, oh, prime time? I'm fit to have some of the baddest women. That's what's going through my mind.
Right.
I wouldn't go ask him that, but through my mind, I'm like, oh, here we go. My journey start before I get to the big leagues, baby. I'm in the, oh. We go eat. We sit down. And this is, I remember like yesterday. And people like, oh, prime time, prime time. And when they were saying that, I was like, okay, I'm going to get that one day. Because I want the women to say it, not the dudes. So we get our food, we sit down, Jason, and our next thing I know, I'm like, okay. Ain't no women here. So we eating, but he talking about Jesus, though. Oh, you got a girl? How often do you read your Bible? You know, you think about getting married one day? And I'm answering the questions, and I'm like, where the women at? 20 minutes go by, 30 minutes go by, 45. So we finish eating, we get up, we go to the field. I'm like, did I just really sit with Deion Sanders and ate lunch? My mind said, for no reason? So you mean to tell me that I sat with Primetime to talk about the Bible? And no girls from nowhere. So we get to the locker room. We was the first ones there because he always get treatment. You know, a lot of football injuries. So he always get treatment. So he was like, hey, oh, we need to go to dinner one night, man. You know, I need to show you some things and talk about some things, talk about life. I'm like, talk about life? I ain't want to talk about life. I want what you had. Forget the life. I'm living. God bless me, baby. I'm a top prospect. I'll be in the big leagues before you know it. I ain't want to see that. So as we go to dinner, we talk, we hang out basically every other day. Jason, there was no women. He was teaching me how to stay away from that life. And I'm trying to tell him, I just want a 3/4 of a mile of the life you had. That's all I want. Forget the money. He telling me, oh, you need to come to my house and go fishing. I got land at home too. I can go fishing, but that ain't the fish I'm going to catch. You talking about fishing. So I'm sitting there saying to myself, fishing? Look, how about all the fish, the big bass you done caught beforehand? I want to catch some of them. So finally, just, I came out and told him, I said, Prime, listen, I respect what you got going on, brother. I love Jesus too. I go to church every Sunday, but chest back out. Right? I said, Prime, how about the women though, dog? He said, oh, that's your problem. You know how he talk. He move his head. Oh, that's your problem, bro. Oh, dog, you gotta, listen, man. Listen, bro, you gotta slow down. It's trouble out there.
He saw it.
I'm trying to show you, young buck.
Yeah.
You ain't got to the big leagues yet. You a prospect. If you doing what you doing down here, my goodness, man, you gonna be, your name, you ain't ready for that lifestyle, oh. That lifestyle will have you lose so much you won't know which way you coming or going. Jason, I'm looking at this dude like, now I know this man is not telling me to stay away from the path of women when he done had the greatest part is in all this that ever a man can ever dream of. But now you're going to deter me from doing it. You ain't let me get to the big leagues yet and enjoy it. So why are you going to try to stop me before I even get there? Jason, yeah. I couldn't see that far. I couldn't see that far because I was blocked mentally.
You were blind.
I was blind. And this whole time, Jesus was sitting there saying, I done talked to prime time to you. I done talked to your mama from yay age to you. I done talked to your pastor to you. And I still can't get your full attention. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow you to get to the big leagues and have a little success. And then I'm going to let Satan take his hands, take you out to Miller Myrtle Beach in Miller Myrtle Beach and dangle you in that water until you're forced to come back to me and get on your knees and surrender to me. And that's where your life and your journey, your real life going to start. And that's what Jesus did.
Orlando Hudson, I love your story, man. Keep sharing it with people. I know it's going to help a lot of people and continue to help a lot of people. I know people listening are going to be encouraged, especially those that might be stuck in that sort of silence that we all, especially guys, get stuck in that silence, that sin of silence, or that silence of sin, if you will. So I appreciate you sharing your story publicly, bro, and letting us know how the Lord's worked in your life. Keep doing it, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. Let's talk again soon.
Definitely. You let me know, big man, and I'm here, baby.
Yes, sir.
Gotta grind and shine.
God bless you, bro.
All right, brother. You too, man.
And many thanks to Orlando Hudson for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. He was fantastic, and I really appreciate his story and his journey being told on this podcast. What a journey he's been on, right? Like talking about living a lukewarm life, knowing about Jesus, but not actually knowing who Jesus is and surrendering your life to him. Orlando Hudson is that guy now. And I've been on Bible studies with him. I've heard him talk about his faith. And that's the reason why I knew it was time to have him on this podcast. And I'm so glad that he said yes. And so glad that he joined us here today on the show. We thank you as well for tuning in. As always, it means so much. If you could do us a favor, click that subscribe or that like button on whatever app you listen to podcasts on. Spotify podcasts are a great place to listen to Sports Spectrum's podcast. If you click that follow button there, or Apple Podcasts, certainly anywhere, Amazon Podcasts, you can find the Sports Spectrum show. Click that like and that follow button. And also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, leaving a rating or a review would certainly help in getting the word out as we continue now down this course. We're in our 7th year with the Sports Spectrum podcast. How crazy is that? And we owe so much to you guys for listening, for being a part of what we're trying to do, which is simply bring Jesus and keep Jesus in the sports conversation and point people to him. He must become greater. We must become less. He must increase. We must decrease. That's what it's about with us here at Sports Spectrum. We thank you for tuning in, for letting others know about Sports Spectrum. And of course, you can find all of our content at our website, sportsspectrum.com. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll see you next time right here on the Sports Spectrum podcast. Have a great rest of your day.